You might like to turn in your Bible to Hebrews and chapter 12. And perhaps we can look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Now, God and Father, we look to you to deal with our heads and hearts and help us in every way. Thank you for caring. Thank you for your presence and your grace. God, it's just us, so help us. And we'll thank you in Christ's name. Amen. And so as we have been looking at the book of Hebrews to help us understand God's wonderful, wonderful position that he's given us, that position is found in the person of our Lord, and we're found in him. There is no better position, there is no better place than to be found in him, in Christ. And in that place, God, when we find ourselves in Christ, and reverse, Christ finds himself in the heart of the believer. When you do that, you have been brought into a unique relationship. And that may be not understood in the beginning, but it is true. When you sign up for the Marines or something, and you sign up for the Marines and you go down and you sign your name and get on the bus or get there, get to the training camp or whatever. And you get in there and you're dressed in. And when you get in there, all of a sudden, everything is now in movement. And why is that? Well, before you got on the bus, it was all right. When you get in the bus, it was all right. When you got off the bus, but when you went into that camp, man, it all changed. And you're under the discipline in every way. And that's what happened. You had no idea of what they would do or how they would do it, how they told you to make the bed and everything. That's what they did. And in the process, when you came to know the Lord as your Savior, the people have no idea what that involves. But it has to be understood that as you enter into that training camp and you've signed your name and you're caught and you can't back out very easily at all. So there you are. And all the rules and all the regulations and all the discipline takes place because you're there. When you came and found yourself in Christ Jesus, that was one thing. And we say it, Christ in me, the hope of glory. It's another thing for me to understand. That involved a necessary discipline training. When you went to boot camp back in the military sense, you had to learn a whole lot of things. You didn't know them. You had to learn them. That's what you had to do. When you get saved and come to know the Lord as your Savior, a whole lot of things change. They need to change. And if you stay in a healthy relationship to the boot camp, to your assignment in the military, you will change. You will change. You'll dress differently. You'll make the bed differently. You'll do everything. Because why? Because you're being disciplined. It didn't happen. It had to happen by training, by bringing up. How does a child grow? A little child has to grow up. That's what they have to do. And if they don't grow up, that's not good. They aren't meant to stay at 2 years old. They aren't meant to stay at 5 years old. They're meant to grow up. God saves us in a wonderful way and makes it possible for us to grow up, as it were, in Ephesians 4, to grow up in Him, in Christ. Now, having said that, therefore the book of Hebrews, and it is restrictive. That is, you can't go and say, I don't want to do this to them in the military. You have to do what you're supposed to do, unless there's some very good reason to not do it. You have to do it. That's what it is. You may not want to do something. You may not want to do whatever. You may not want to get up at 4 o'clock, like we shared before, to go out in the sound, rowing. You may not want to do that, but you do it. You do it. You train. Pretty soon, you just move with the rules, with the discipline. The discipline's there, but you're growing in it. The more you grow, the more you know, the easier it is. That's hard, people, for people. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, so chapter 12 is telling us to look to the Lord, who's our example, chapter 12. He's our example, and because he is the one who's training us, what is he training us to do, to be like in Ephesians 4, 12 and 13 and that? We're to be like him. He's the forerunner. And we follow him, and we're to be like him. But I don't want to be like him. But then you got a problem. You got a problem. And so the discipline is necessary to make us like him, to help us in every way possible. So when we read in chapter 12 and verse 6, he scourgeth everyone, floggeth them, verse 7, if you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons, for what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? In other words, the father's going to chasten every son. He's looking for his sons to go from 2 years old to 10 years old. He's looking for them to grow. He doesn't want to have an exception. I have 5 sons. I want one to be 2 years old. He doesn't have an exception, and neither do we. God doesn't have exceptions. They all have to be changed. Now, that's what's going to happen when the Lord takes us. All of the fumbling around in us humans as believers, when God takes us, 1 Corinthians 15, we're going to be changed in the twinkling of an eye. So whatever, never in a moment, it's all going to be different. Now, having said that, verse 7, if you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? And the father does chasten. There's no such thing as a person in the military, in the old military, I don't think in the new one, The person in the new one, person in the military, there's no one that's an exception that can get out of bed when they want, can eat what they want, can go where they want, can do what they want, and still be in the military. You just can't do that. There's no exceptions. So God, what are you telling us? Every son has to be under the discipline of growing and knowing. That's what they have to be. And in the process, I'll read verse 7 again. If you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then you are bastards and not sons. You're illegitimate. Then you're not sons. you don't belong. That doesn't, that's nothing to do with being saved. You can't get saved and you get disciplined, bastards. No, you never were a son. All sons have to be disciplined. All sons have to be saved. Simply, basic, all believers have to have Christ in them. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. All believers have to have the Son. Otherwise, you're not a believer. I didn't say going to buildings or churches. You have to be a believer. And therefore, they're legit, they're illegitimate. They aren't rightly sons at all. So therefore, in verse 8, if you be without chastisement, if you be without it, and it's assumed to be true, if you be without chastisement, discipline, bringing up, training, all those words are related in this section. If you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are you bastards and not sons. You're not legitimate. You're not legitimate. You have to be legitimate sons. And in the process, all are partakers. There's no exceptions in some form or set, a way or another. Therefore, verse 9. Furthermore, we have had fathers in our flesh, of our flesh. Now it's going to use an illustration to help us, using humans to go with a human father and God the Father. So it's going to make a comparison. Human fathers, what do they do? Verse 9. Furthermore, we have had fathers after our fathers of our flesh, humans, which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? Now, human fathers did what they did, and they did it. We were in subjection to them, and we were raised by them for one way or another, and we did that. So if we do that to a human father, should we not do that to God the Father? He's the Father of spirits. Now remember, you have body, soul, spirit. 1 Thessalonians 5. Your spirit is think of the light bulb and the filament. And the light bulb's there. Without the little filament in the light bulb, the electricity would do nothing. Screwing the bulb in won't do anything. It has to have the filament. When God created us humans, he put the filament in. That's the spirit. Otherwise, we're like a moose. Not something else. No, we aren't. We have a spirit. That's what God is looking for. We're spiritually to be saved. We're physically born spiritually to be saved. God takes, and he's the Father of spirits. He made us, and God gives us spiritual life when we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, corrected us, we, verse 9, we gave them reverence, respect, regard. We yielded to that judgment, we respected, we were submissive, and we learned not to do some things, to do some things. That's how we learn. We grow up like that, by discipline. Now, so well, that's true for humans, fathers, not all, but some, when they do it, as you'll see in verse 9. We gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection to the Father's spirits and live? In verse 10, 4, they verily for a few days, they did it for a few days, that's all. They did it. We have the little child grows up, when 1 year old to whatever age they depart, and we have them in the home to discipline them, to help them. For they verily reason, they did it for a few days. A few days. They chastened us, disciplined us, braced us up. And they did it for after their own pleasure. The word pleasure has to do with that which seems good, that which seems right. It seemed good. It seemed right to the thing to do, to discipline them, to train them, to help them. And they did it. They did it that way. And not all did it, but some did it. Some did it. And in the process, verse 10, they did it for a few days. But, contrast, but he, for our profit, he did it for our profit. That's, he profited us. He wants us to be, present tense, to bring together things, to piece them together, to bring them in relationship to each other. In other words, you're training the whole person. That's what you're doing. Back into your military illustration, you have a little bit of training on this little type of thing. That's just part of the whole. You couldn't go to war. You wouldn't be well trained just in that. You need the whole thing. What's the whole thing doing? All the different pieces. They're making the whole person disciplined. A disciplined person. That's what you're looking for. Discipline and make disciplines make for the disciplined person. Now, so verse 10, for they verily did it for a few days. They did it. They did it to profit. But God does it for our profit. But he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. So God is seeking to bring the pieces together to make it work for us, just to see how that does a little bit. Hold your finger here for a minute and go over to John chapter 16. And you will see the word prophet, so you can connect it in your mind. John chapter 16. And you will note, chapter 16, in verse 7. It, nevertheless, I tell you, said the Lord, that the truth, that it is expedient for you that I go away. The word expedient is the word profit, to be expedient, to bring things together, to make the thing all come together. It is expedient, profitable for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. So God, you're going to go and do a wonderful thing. And you're going to help us to grow, to know. That's what God's going to do. Us human fathers fail or get whatever, however. But when it comes to our relationship to God, that our Father is going to chasten us, discipline, bring us up, to train us. That's what he's going to do. In the end of verse 10, that you might be partakers of God's wonderful, wonderful holiness, that you might be a partaker, practicing the holiness, his holiness, in a most wonderful, wonderful way. Now, having said that, keep in mind, what's it going to do? It's going to help us understand. Remember back the whole point of using the illustration of the military again, is to train up an army, a group of people that are able to perform and defend and do whatever as a unit, as a team, not individually, general, captain, colonel, captain, all of that. All of that's in order, in submission, in order to be a team to do something. And you see that sometime, and some of you at least hear it or see it somewhere, called the SWAT teams and different things. Firemen are very committed, understandably, to each other when someone dies. Policemen, someone dies. They're very committed. It's a team. It's a team, a commitment to a job that's a tough job. Now, so here in verse 10, they are to be partakers to making a part, to having a part, to sharing in anything of what? The sharing of God's wonderful holiness. Holiness. Now, why do I need to share that? Why do I need that? Back over, if I can, to Leviticus, which you know. Leviticus in chapter 10. And Leviticus in chapter 10, a familiar passage. What did Israel have to learn? Remember, everything we've been saying in the like of Hebrews is now the same thing for the Old Testament, only in a different relationship, etc. So here's the Israelites out from Egypt with all the gods. Here they are at Mount Sinai with no gods, just the fiery mountain. And there they are. What are they going to do? They're going to have to learn they aren't in Egypt, where you bow to this god and you bow to that god and you do whatever they do with the rituals and rigors and everything. You don't have to do that. No. You're at Mount Sinai. God is going to help them. God is God. Wonderfully, wonderfully God. So, chapter 10, what are the Israelites in need? So what are they going to have to learn to do? When you go to boot camp, you have to learn. You have to train. So chapter 10 and in verse 8. And the Lord spake unto Aaron, saying, Do not drink wine nor strong drink, thou nor thy sons with thee, when you go into the tabernacle of the congregation, lest you die. So that's pretty serious. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations. In other words, you're all going to do the same thing. Verse 10, for then, and that you may put difference between holy and unholy and between unclean and clean. Verse 11, that you may teach the children of Israel all the statutes which the Lord has spoken unto them by the hand of Moses. You're going to help them. How am I going to practice? Here's all the guidelines and here's all the information you need to understand. How am I going to get it? I need to learn there's a difference. In the light of if the Lord tarries and we live a little longer in the morning message. And we get that far, if we get there. Here's Peter. Peter's problem is a human problem. We're trying to do something without God, about God, thinking about God, looking to God. We're trying to be something, to have something, and we can't do it. Why can't we do it? Because why? We're on a human level, and God's on his level. We're down here, God's there. So all, back to the radio station, here's AM. And you can turn the dial all the whole across the frequency spectrum and AM and turn all the different frequencies. And as long as you do it back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, you can do it. But you won't pick up FM. You won't pick up FM. Why not? Because you're tuned to AM and you got to have FM. God made us spirit beings. The filter, the filament. God made us spirit beings to know him. He's not the word holy, we might catch it again soon. The word holy, not, root of it, not, N-O-T, negative, earth, not of earth, holy. God is not of earth. God is not earthly. He's heavenly, spirit being. He's different, the word holy, and then sanctification and everything else that goes with it. He's different. God is distinctly different. Teach the people God is different. We can't think of God like we think of each other, like we think of people, how we answer things, how we keep promises, how we do things and don't do things. We can't do it based on that, because that's on our level. And our level is never his level. Never his level. Disciplined. Teach to be partakers. Back to, don't turn there. Hebrews 12. To be partakers of his holiness. How can we possibly share and be on the same page with God? We need to have an FM. We need to get FM. We need to get saved. We need to have spiritual life so that we can be there. We have to know the difference between earthly and heavenly, between God and humans. God is a wonderful, wonderful, awesome Father. Us fathers are just us humans. At the very best, that's all we are. That's a human father. Human fathers are not God the Father. Holy, unholy, two different things, two different spheres. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, to be holy and clean. Elvin, now I said that. Now back it up, chapter 11. And you'll pick it up again in chapter 11 and in verse 43. You shall not make yourselves abominable with any creeping thing that creepeth, neither shall ye make yourselves unclean with them, that you should be defiled thereby. For, why not? For I am the Lord your God, and ye shall therefore sanctify, holy, sanctify, set apart yourselves. And ye shall be holy, adjective. Ye shall be holy. Why should we they be holy? For I am holy. Neither shall ye defy yourselves with any manner of creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. You need to make a distinct difference. Verse 45. For I am the Lord that bringeth you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God. Ye shall therefore be holy, for I am holy. God saved them from Egypt, the gods, to Mount Sinai, God. You need to understand something has changed. And you can't think the same as you did. You can't be religious. We're in Egypt, we worship, we bow down, we count, whatever we do in our ritual. You have to understand, Egypt is, and religion is one thing. God and rightness is something else. Two different things. And you have to understand that. Most religious churchgoers, and all of us, not you guys, but people that do that, they are religious. That's what they do. And they approach God from an AM level. That's what they do. And they pray that way, they think that way, they act that way, they read the Bible that way, they believe the Bible that way. But they don't see it from God's position. He's holy. Be ye holy, for I am holy. Back in chapter 11, verse 46. This is the law of the beast and of the fowl and every living creature that moveth in the waters and of every creature that creepeth upon the earth. To make, to what? To what? To what? Why? To make difference, to make a difference between the unclean and the clean, between the beast that may be eaten and the beast that may not be eaten. I'm trying to help you understand, said God. You have to understand there's a difference. And I'm going to help you. It's not the problem with the animals, but I'm using them. I'm using the animals. I'm using your diet. I'm using it all to train you, to train you. When you go and back to the military again, you have all kinds of things you do. Are you going to do them later? No, you're not going to do them again. But you learn something. You learn something. That's what you did. And that's what you're taking. You're taking that discipline forward and being able to put it to practice. Over, if I can, chapter 19. And you may notice in that chapter 19, chapter 19, verse 1, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, what did he say? Verse 2, speak unto all, the congregation of the children of Israel, and say unto them, ye shall be holy. Why? For I, the Lord your God, am holy. Is there any distinction? Think going back to Hebrews 12. Unless you're chastened, disciplined, you're illegitimate. You're not a son. How can you be in the military and not be disciplined? Not have something going, something, a penalty, something. You have to be. Otherwise, you're not in the military. So here we are. God said, all of you have to understand, you're not in Egypt. You're before me, using Mount Sinai. You're all before me. And you have to understand that I'm different. I'm holy. Unholy, holy, clean, unclean. You need to understand the difference so that you can appreciate who I am. Otherwise, you're approaching me, you're talking to me as if I was Zeus or Mercury or some other god. And I'm not. I'm not. You have to understand. Be ye holy, for I am holy. So, and you know that. When you come and move along in the light of that, over if I can, 1 Corinthians, you know, but put it together while you're thinking about it. In Peter, Peter is going to admonish us. If anyone was encouraged to grow and know, Peter was. And you'll note, please, in verse 15, in the light of the context, verse 15, chapter 1, but he which hath called you is holy, so be holy in all manner of conversation, in all your behavior, in all that you do. Be holy. Why? Because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. God is consistent, and God is the same. Humans are the same, whether they're Israelites or Peter, James, and Paul. They're all the same. Now, in chapter 2. And in chapter 2, remember what they are. It's because you're in the military, you got a uniform, and you need to be disciplined. Therefore, you have to understand you're part of the unit. You're part of the team. You're a son. Being a son of the Father, therefore, you need to understand, as a son of the Father, what are you entitled to, qualified for? Verse 9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar, special, prized, privileged people. Why? That you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. God, we're special. So, here's all the thing. Why do I have to do this? Because when you went in and signed your name on the line to join, you became special. Now you have to learn to be special so you can enjoy being special. Being saved, being a son, wow. I don't think many believers rarely enjoy, if ever sometime, being a son, a real son. legitimate. I'm a son of my father. You're a son of your father. But I'm actually a real son of God, a son, in the son. I had nothing. I agree. We're all nothing. But in Christ, I became a son, and you became a son in Christ. That's an awesome thing. It isn't something you're going to be. It's something you is, something you already have. So we don't have to look for it, hunt for it, or wish for it, or work for it. It's there. We just need to get into the place where we're so disciplined in a good way to enjoy being whatever we are, Marine, to be a believer. And that's what the problem is. And anything that rubs us the wrong way, we back off. We don't want to do that. Well, in being a believer, you can back off and walk out the door, but that's your loss. And if you're saved, you always have to say, I don't know if they're saved. I don't know if they're saved. God knows if they're saved. So we need to grow and we need to know. Over, if I can, while you're here. And you know it. It won't be hurt at all to remind us. It never can be said too much. 1 Peter chapter 3, picking up, please, in verse 14. But if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror. Neither be troubled, don't be worried. Why not? Because you're able to go, reason, sanctify, set apart, be ye holy. Sanctify the Lord God, who is holy, in your heart, and be ready to always give an answer to every man that asketh you, they may or may not, a reason of the hope that is within you, saith, with meekness and fear. So, God, we're going to sanctify, and remember, keep them at using Mount Sinai. Mount Sinai, the people are all here, and God is not, he's up there, we're all looking up, he's sanctify, set apart the Lord God in your heart, so that he's not crowded in with all the worries and wants and comings and goings. Separate the Lord God so that he's there, and you've got a space around him where all the worries and cares and things that we think about in 24 hours a day are out here, and don't let them crowd in, so they crowd in, and we can't find the Lord, as it were. We can't see him anymore. We're crowded in with everything about our life, and we can't see. We need to be able to see in a most wonderful, wonderful way. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, so be holy, and we be holy. God is holy in a most wonderful way, and to sanctify the Lord God. Now, so when we came into Hebrews, go over there if you can, back to the book of Hebrews, and partakers of his holiness. Now, just to exercise that in the light of Hebrews, just, and remember, words in a given book, others use the words. So if a word is used in Hebrews, and that word, and it's used 10 times in Hebrews, it all relates. It's the same writer using the same thought, same word. Leviticus might be the same word, but a little different context. So the book that you're reading it in helps you qualify specifically the meaning of a word. And so you want to take that. Now, here we read in Hebrews 12, partakers of his holiness. Now, going back into Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 2. Chapter 2, verse 11. God is going to go, remember, God is going to sanctify us, hope, make the think of being holy. Both he, verse 11, he that sanctifies us and they who are sanctified are all of one, same source of God. Which, for which cause? In other words, Christ is sanctified. Think of John 17. He sanctifies himself so that you can be sanctified and I can be sanctified. So God does that. Why? So that he's sanctified, set apart. He's holy so that we can be holy. Now, picking up if I can. Both he that sanctifieth and they who sanctified are all one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. So God, what does this holiness do? We're partakers, sharers in common of his holiness. Now how do I share the same thing he is? Because we're sanctified, declared holy as he is. When we're placed in Christ, Christ in us, he brings to us the holiness of God. So when we become in the place to enjoy a relationship as sons to God in a most wonderful way. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, chapter 3. And in chapter 3, picking up, and you will notice, chapter 3 and verse 1. Remember what you just read at the end of verse 11. We're going to remember chapter 2, verse 11. And you're going to call them, he's going to call them brethren, family. Now chapter 3, verse 1. Wherefore, what kind of brethren? What kind are they? They're holy brethren. They're holy. They're brethren, set apart, sanctified. They're made holy. So God, when you address the church, the believers, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of your profession, Christ Jesus. Consider him. You're holy. God, holy brethren. Wow. Now, chapter 6. And you remember, as we did all this, we have a unique relationship, and you can't get discharged from that relationship. Verse 4, it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and tasted of the heavenly gift and were partakers of the Holy Ghost in a most wonderful, wonderful way. And so God, the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God comes in, God is holy, and we're brethren, sharers in common with the Holy Ghost, with God. Chapter 10. And again, chapter 10, picking up, please, in verse 10. By which will, just in the middle of the context, chapter 10, verse 10, by which will, God's will, we are sanctified, set apart, made holy through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. God has done a wonderful, wonderful thing for us, in us, around us. Verse 14, for by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified, made holy. He's done something wonderful. It isn't to be repeated. It needs to be fixed so that we can have an enjoyment, a joyable relationship to God on the same dimension. All of us have FM. We all can tune in the same station. We turn the same page. We're able to tune in and enjoy in a most wonderful, wonderful way. Oh, if I can, verse 19. Having therefore, brethren, holy brethren, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. So we can proceed. As we proceed forward in the will of God, we're able to go all the way into God's holy, holy presence. Think of the tabernacle, that's the holy place. And then once a year, the priest could go into the second place where the ark was, the holiest of all. We have access straightway to God, a holy God, because of his holy Son. We sons are made holy. We have a direct access, nothing in between. A wonderful, wonderful way to enjoy our human existence as we walk down the corridor of time to have a relationship. Back to Hebrews, we are sons. And you're a real son to enjoy a real father and to be partakers of his holiness as we get down the corridor. Therefore, the discipline and all of those wonderful, wonderful things have to take place in a most wonderful, wonderful way so that we can know and grow, etc. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, when you say holy, go over, if I can, to 1 Corinthians and chapter 6. And in 1 Corinthians and chapter 6, if I may, yeah, 1 Timothy chapter 6, picking up if I can, and verse 19, do you know it? But what? Let me read over verse 11. Chapter 6, verse 11, in the light of it. And such were some of you, all kinds of things, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, set apart, but you were justified, made righteous, in the name of our Lord, of the Lord Jesus, and by the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God, verse 19. What know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own, for you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Now, in the Holy of Holies, the priest could go in once a year. We just read in Hebrews 10 that we have access straightway to God's holiness. Now, God, what else do we know? God has taken us humans, and when he's taken you, the body of a believer, and placed you, if you're a believer, in his body, holy, you became his temple. That's where he lives. He lived, my heart, Christ home, God, the temple, hands, eyes, ears, nose, the temple of God. It's just flesh, it is. But it's set apart. It has all the pain and everything that goes with it. But it belongs to God, and God's going to do what he does in the most wonderful way in using that vessel. And he puts the believers together like assembly, church, coming together. The body comes together. And the body is able to what? To function. To be able to enjoy God's awesome person. It's the body. It's not the building. Here's the building. It's the body in the building. The body in the building. That's where the body is. Say there, well, I don't feel it. No, you don't. I don't smell it. I don't see it. No, you don't. But it is. No one can see. God does. And all the activity is thousands, zillions of different activity going on. We don't see it. We don't hear it. We don't smell it. But it's all going on in the room and around us. All the stuff is happening, but we don't see it. I see it. But I need to understand. That's why you abide. The branch abides in the vine. That's all you can do. And the branch doesn't figure out the weather report, and the branch doesn't figure out the amount of this or that. The tree is there to weather the storm and to feed itself from the ground and bring the water up from down below all the way to the top of the tree to do all that it does. And all the branch does is enjoy the function of the tree. The believer is to enjoy God's being God. That's all. Abiding. I'm letting God be God. That's what he's doing. God has to help us. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind if I can, therefore, over to Ephesians. In Ephesians in chapter 1, picking up if I may. Thank you. And in verse, going directly if I can, I'll read verse 3 to put it together for you, for me too. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. That's where it all is. It's where is it located? In Christ. According as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. So God, before the foundation of the world, before anything was ever created, that, what did he do? That, order in order that, we should be holy. God created us to be holy. Sin came along and loused it up, but Christ went to the cross. That's why he died. Restore holiness. To restore the relationship. Wow. Verse 4 again. According as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. That's what God's did. We didn't do a thing. All we did is believe and beginning to let God get to us. God just being who he is being who he is. And we're learning to trust him. But you won't do it. If you say you don't say, I don't want to have to discipline. Remember now what we shared before, some may not like it. If you don't go to the boot camp, don't sign the name, you don't have to ever worry. You don't have to ever worry you're going to have to live in heaven because you're never going to get there. So if you don't sign, you don't join up. If you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, like the military, you join up. When you join up, you're going to be there. You're going to be there. You need to exercise that. Because you're going to be exercised. You won't be exercised if you aren't joining up. You aren't going to go like it's going to say a little further. You're going to, using illustration, when you're training for the Olympics, does that mean your routine is going to be like it never was? The person that's out in the street comes in and is going to train in some aspect for the Olympics. Are you going to change? Do you think you have to change? Are you going to change your routine? You bet your whole life changed. Why? Because you wanted to be in the Olympics. You wanted to be in there. You're going to be exercised. If you aren't exercised, you're never going to get in there. You have to be exercised. And that's an offense to people. Why do I have to be exercised? Because you're a son. And God loves. He exercises who he loves. Well, I say, I don't care. Well, then you may not. I don't know. I got to quit. I hope you got a little bit. Wonderful thing.